The home of the world champion, LA Dodgers.
A grand slam home run for Trey Turner, and the Dodgers are right back in it.
Go Dodger Blue. Love you, Shaxi. Love you, Kate. True Dodger fan.
This is a special postseason edition of World Champion Dodger Talk.
Playoff baseball.
Brought to you by your Southern California Chevy dealers. Offering a full lineup of trucks and accessories to help make it your own. Find new possibilities. Find new roads. Visit SoCalChevy.com for more information. Listen anywhere you are on the iHeartRadio app. Just search AM570 LA Sports. And now your hosts on the official home of the World Champion Dodgers.
Love listening to the games on the radio.
Here's Tim Cates and Steve Sachs.
What a glorious Friday morning here in Los Angeles, the City of Angels, as the baseball gods were shining down on Oracle Park last night. The Dodgers defeat the San Francisco Giants 2-1 in Game 5 of the National League Division Series. The Dodgers move on to the NLCS in a rematch with the Atlanta Braves tomorrow night. First pitch at 5:07 right here on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. I am Tim Cates, joined by two-time World Series champ, former Rookie of the Year, and one Dodger great, Steve Sachs. And Sachsy, we have a treat right now. Joining us from TBS, he was on the call last night. 12 years in the major leagues, an all-star, a World Series champ. He now broadcasts Mets game. He's also on the TBS broadcaster in the regular season, MLB Network. And he was on the call last night with Brian Anderson on TBS at Oracle Park. He is Ron Darling, and he joins us now here on AM 570 LA Sports. Ron, good morning.
Hi, guys. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Ron. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Steve. How you doing, Saxy?
Good to be with you. Hey, Ron. There's so many different elements of this series from the whole season, and then coming down now to postseason. This epic battle between these guys. Kind of, we'll get into it a little bit. But how about just an overall synopsis on your part?
Well, you know, what a season for these two teams as they battled it out. The division still counts, so they played for it all season long. To be 1-1 going into the ninth inning. Just amazing, you know, played evenly all season long. It's just a real testament to their talent, both sides, talent and toughness, that they were able to put on a show like they did last night for us. You know, you knew it was going to be an epic game. You didn't know how it was going to play out. And I said in the broadcast last night, I just always think Dodgers history, because it's so deep and long, is amazing because it repeats itself, you know. So on the anniversary of Sandy Koufax pitching on 2 days rest in 1965, a complete game in Game 7, you have Max Scherzer coming back on 2 days rest to get the first save he's ever got in his professional career. It was just an amazing game.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, the Dodgers, really what they did with this bullpen, I think it kind of separated themselves from the Giants, Ronnie, in that, you know, the last three guys that came in for the Dodgers, in Trinan, Jansen, and Scherzer, those nine outs, they got six of those via the strikeout. You're talking about great velo down there in that bullpen. And they just, I think, separated themselves by having that depth that everybody talks about. And on the other side with the Giants, in Duvall, you know, he has a history of hitting people and kind of losing his control. And I think that just kind of peaked up a little bit and was enough to win the game.
Steve, that's the great point. I mean, that really was the separator. I thought in the past, and I could be wrong, but I've always thought in the past that the Dodgers were almost a complete team, but depth in the bullpen was something that you could always look at and say, boy, you wish you had one more arm or two more arms. Well, that's not an issue anymore. The people they bring in from that bullpen are amazing. You think of Blake Treinen. Blake Treinen with maybe Josh Hader, I think with the Brewers, might be the two most important relievers in the game. And Kenley Jansen, you know, after he had that little hiccup, I think he had three blown saves right in the middle of July. Mm-hmm. After that, and changing his style a little bit, has made himself back into one of the most feared relievers in the game. So That was the advantage. It always was the advantage, and Dave Roberts used it to his advantage.
Ron Darling with us here on AM 570 LA Sports. You can see him on TBS. We'll have the call of the NLCS coming up. Game one is tomorrow night. He was on the call last night with Brian Anderson up at Oracle Park. The game ended on a check swing from Wilmer Flores. He was rung up by Gabe Morales, the first base umpire. We can all agree it probably wasn't a strike. It was a swing that he checked, but the game ended that way. The baseball gods were shining on the Dodgers last night, Ron.
Yeah, it was. It was, it was a mistake by Gabe. And the check swing call, and Steve will tell you, is probably the most difficult for a base umpire because there's no rule, there's no feel. I've talked to many umpires about it, and they say they want to feel as though the batter offered at the pitch. Certainly Flores didn't, but, the Giants had many opportunities, not many, but they had a few opportunities to dent and get some runs during that game. I just think, in my opinion, if you're a first base umpire and a right-handed hitter or a third base umpire, a left-handed hitter, that you have to see a definitive kind of check swing to call that because you never want to be an umpire to make the call to end the game that was as epic as that one was last night.
Yeah, Ron, I agree, and there's no way that that was a swing. But you know what? The script could have been flipped with the situation with Darren Ruff, I think, in July against on a swing that he had completely taken. They called it a check swing. It changed the outcome of the game, which would have meant that it could have changed the complexity of the outcome of this, and the Dodgers could have very well won this division, and we would have been playing Game 5 at Dodger Stadium. But that's neither here nor there. It was a miscall, but you know what? It kind of goes back and forth. But I wanted to ask you or point out with Mookie Betts, going 4-for-4, the cream comes to the top. And Cody Bellinger is really starting to zone in a little bit. When you pitch him up in the zone and you being the great pitcher that you were, you know that you have a liability or he can be a liability for that team if you pitch him letter up. But if you get that ball down in the zone, especially something off speed that doesn't hit the dirt, Cody Bellinger can be a severe weapon for this team. And that's what happened when he hit that missile to right center.
Well, first, about Mookie Betts, one of the best players in the game. I know he didn't have the kind of season he wanted, injuries and other things. But I was thinking as you were going over Mookie's night, that was a real Steve Sachs game last night. Four hits, a stolen base, steals a run. That was really a Steve Sachs game.
And, thank you.
And as far as Bellinger is concerned, I said it last night, you have a chance when you've had a lost season, and we all had one. You have a lost season to make up for it when you're in the postseason. And that that average that he had all year gets wiped off the board, a clean slate. You got a chance to do what you can do. I know injuries have played a big part in his inconsistency this year, but we're talking about one of the best players in the game when he's right. I thought, Steve, that it was just it was a strange approach that Doval took against Bellinger, in my opinion. They went after him with sliders. I think when I watch Bellinger right now, I feel like he's catching up to the fastball, but slider speed is more of his bat speed right now as he tries to get where he's at. So I thought it was a strange approach to go after him with those kind of pitches. And once you get to 2-2, then you have to throw the slider for a strike. You can't bury it in the dirt. And that cost him right there. Throwing it for a strike, slider speed kind of swing, and he hit a bullet. And I'm so happy. Guys that have a horrible season, no one wants to play a whole season and fail. Nobody in the history of the game.
Right.
So to be able to come back and have a postseason like he's having so far, a great wild card game as well, is fun to watch.
Ron Darling, MLB on TBS analyst, is joining us here on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. Ron will call the NLCS alongside Brian Anderson and Jeff Francoeur with Game 1 set for tomorrow night exclusively on TV on TBS. First pitch is at 5:07. The Dodgers decided to go with Corey Knebel as the opener and wait to get to Julio Urias. It could have backfired on the Dodgers. It didn't. They've done this before where it takes one guy passing to the next guy and keep passing that baton, and all it takes is one hiccup. It can all fall apart, but it worked out for the Dodgers last night. Again, what did you make of that, Ron?
Well, think about it. I mean, the first two innings, the Giants really had some chances against Knebel and Gratterall. I think they opened themselves. I mean, can you imagine the kind of show you guys would have had this morning if it hadn't worked out? I mean, it would have been featured certainly on choosing an opener. But they did it last year in Game 7 of the NLCS. Remember Dustin May pitching inning, and they moved through the bullpen. I think Dave Roberts and the Dodgers really don't care about criticism. They want to just do what they think is right to get 27 outs. Now, listen, Knebel, Gratterall, Urias, Jansen, and Trinan were going to appear in that game at some point. They just decided to flip the order to ensure that Urias would not go through the lineup twice. That's all they did. And it seems really controversial because we've seen small market teams, the Brewers and the Rays, they all do it. But to have the mighty Dodgers do it, I think really is a line in the sand, a line of demarcation that, you know, this is where baseball's at. So you either get on this train or get off it.
Yeah, Ron, I wanted to ask you a question about this team, the Giants, and then a comment afterwards. First of all, I can tell you that I've often referred to the Giants this year as a ghost. I can't put my finger on the magic dust that's sprinkled on this team. Now, let me preface this by saying this team is the farthest thing from lucky. This is not a lucky team. This is a combination of guys that have found it, that had a chemistry that worked. I'm sure there was a great tenor set in the clubhouse, but it's everybody collectively playing at the same time, out of their minds, playing their best career game or games ever. And that's a scary thing when you can't put your finger on it. Look, with this same personnel, this team might finish third next year. That's not a knock on the team. It's a compliment to the team in what they're doing in the moment. What they did this year was absolutely phenomenal. Total respect for this Giants team. And secondly, I think it was great what Gabe Kapler did in postgame yesterday. The air of magnanimity that he showed towards the Dodgers was because of the contentious relationship that's been between the teams.
Yeah.
I thought really elevated everybody's game. It was great.
Yeah, I think that because of the way they had the battle this season, that there has to be a mutual respect for each other.
Yes.
Because of the way a team that wins 107, team that wins 106, the Dodgers never let up. The Giants never gave in. I think you're right. If you think about all the people who think they know baseball, you do, I think I do, all season long, I think if we were honest, we were thinking, okay, at some point the Giants are going to kind of fall out of the tree.
Yeah, sure.
Sort of like the Red Sox did, right?
Yeah.
The Red Sox got off to that great start and then had to really, really battle, and now they're in the ALCS. But that being said, you know, I don't like this memory, but I remember a 1988 Dodger team that had great talent, but because of injuries, almost perfect season by Oral, and you guys pulled together in such a way and pulled it off. You know, that's the great thing about sports is that if you do have that moment where you all mesh together and you all have each other's back and nobody is critical or, I mean, there's a real, I hate to say this word, but I think it's true. There's a real love for each other when you know you can back up each other. They had that this year. Yeah. And when you have that, I don't care if that's baseball, life, business, whatever you do, that is magical, and don't ever discount that.
Final thing for me, Ron. Game one tomorrow night. Quick turnaround for this Dodgers team. The Braves have been sitting out, waiting to see if they were going to travel or stay home for games one and two. What do the Dodgers do? What does Dave Roberts do with game one? Is it Max Scherzer in bullpen? Does he go to Tony Gonsolin? What do you expect tomorrow night at 5:07 Pacific?
I think you're going to see a very interesting game one. I think you're going to have a bullpen game. I think Gonsolin's going to be the bulk guy as the Dodgers try to catch their breath and get their pitchers on their days. Bueller in game two, of course. But I think that's going to be the way they kind of go. These teams are pretty evenly matched. If you look at their numbers against each other this season, they only played six games. But you know, there's a lot to like about the Braves. They're a slugging kind of team. But, you know, one thing I've learned about the Dodgers the last couple of seasons, because of all the stuff that they've gone through, good and bad, is that not only are they talented, but I think we dismiss how tough this team is. They're a very tough team, resilient, and they do not give in. And so if it's game one and it's a bulk innings by Gonsolin and a bullpen game, that doesn't mean anything to them. They'll find a way to try to win it. And I think that's the best testament to Dave Roberts' tenure with this ball club.
Yeah, and running on the other side of that, you know, as far as what they have to face in Max Fried, this guy led MLB with a .174 ERA after the All-Star game. He went six scoreless innings against the Braves and against the Brewers in Game 2 of the DS, and he allowed one or zero runs in three of his five career postseason starts. I look at this as a daunting task, not insurmountable by the Dodgers, that this guy has been a phenomenal pitcher, especially the momentum that he really picked up after the All-Star break.
Well, I think in the future, the Dodgers have to have a right to any kid that comes out of Harvard Westlake has to go to the Dodgers. He can't go anyplace else. I think that's the first thing. As far as Fried's concerned, if you look at his career, when he pitches, they win. You know, it's they get tons of runs or whatever, it's just kind of a magical thing when he pitches for that Braves team. So that'll be a great battle. But when I watch him pitch at his best with the curveball, cutter, and fastball, he reminds me of Kershaw Light. You know, he's certainly not as good as the great Clayton, but he has that kind of arsenal to get hitters out, and he's a fantastic young pitcher. The Dodgers will have a real battle against him in the series.
He is Ron Darling from TBS. Check him out in the NLCS alongside Brian Anderson and Jeff Francoeur. Game one set for tomorrow. You'll watch it exclusively on TBS. First pitch at 5:07. Ron, we appreciate you getting up early doing this as you guys get ready to travel back to Atlanta for game one tomorrow night. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
Thank you, guys. Take care, Saxie.
You bet.
All right, there he goes. Ron Darling from TBS. Thanks to Jay with Turner Sports PR as well for helping set that up. Truth be told, not a big Ron Darling fan when he calls the games on TBS. I, like everybody else, thinks he hates the Dodgers, but he is a nice guy when it's all said and done.
Look, I got to tell you this. I worked with Ron for a few years over at Fox. I like Ron. He's a great guy. If you knew him personally, you'd love him. He's a good dude. And you know, I think people just, you know, they don't want to hear something negative about their team. Yeah. I don't want to hear anything negative about my team either. But I can tell you, I know him personally, and he's really a great guy. He's always been a classy guy from the time that we faced him. I faced Ron when he came out of when he came out of Yale. He was a first pick by the Texas Rangers. I faced him in the Texas League then, and all through my National League career. So we have a long-standing both professional and personal relationship.
It's the old Joe Buck effect, you know. Everybody thinks Joe Buck hates their team when he's calling a game, whether it's NFL games or MLB games. All right, thanks to Ron Darling, thanks to the folks at TBS and Turner for that. We really appreciate it. Game one is tomorrow night, right here on AM570 LA Sports. Coming up, your phone calls. We'll also preview this NLCS. What do the Dodgers get themselves into here with this Atlanta Braves team? How different is this Braves team than a year ago when the Dodgers beat them in the bubble down in Arlington? Remember, the Dodgers were down 3-1 in the NLCS. Yeah. Had to battle back in the bubble in Texas. We'll talk about it. We'll preview it. Your phone calls and a $50 gift card to the Dodgers Clubhouse store for your playoff gear. 866-987-2570. He is Steve Sachs. I'm Tim Cates. Thanks for being with us on your home of the Dodgers, AM570 LA Sports.
Baby, just how you... Time to defend the crown. Back with more postseason world champion Dodger talk. This is Tim Cates and Steve Sachs.
A Dodger fan on this Friday morning as the Dodgers beat the San Francisco Giants last night 2-1 in Game 5 of the NLDS. They punched their card now to the National League Championship Series in a rematch against the Atlanta Braves. Game 1 of this best-of-7 NLCS is tomorrow night in Atlanta. First pitch at 5:07. Morongo Casino, Dodgers on deck. We'll start at 4 o'clock. We still got one more gift card, $50 gift card, to get your playoff gear and Dodger merchandise at the Dodger Clubhouse store. Five different locations, including Universal City Walk, the main one, Hollywood, Santa Monica, Montebello, and Northridge. The Dodger Clubhouse store is the official team store of AM570 LA Sports. Yeah, Ron Darling's starting to grow on me a little bit, Saxy. During the break, I just kept thinking, yeah, he's not that bad of a guy, even though I think like most Dodger fans, he hates the Dodgers. But, you know,
I don't think he hates the Dodgers. I don't think he does. And you know, he puts things in perspective. He knows that in 88 when we won that, you know, the playoff game against them in the championship series to go into the World Series, you know, you can put those things to past. I mean, that's just part of baseball. You know, he later went on to win the World Series with the A's. I believe he was on that team when the A's won it the next year against the Giants. So, you know, I mean, that's just baseball. And I don't think he has any personal animus towards the Dodgers at all.
Yeah, try telling Dodger fans that. All right. Last night, there was a tweet that was sent out. I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but Mookie Betts finished the night with 4 hits. Well, at the time that he got 3 hits in the game, a tweet from one of the ESPN MLB guys got sent out, and it is from courtesy of ESPN Stats Info. Dodgers with 3 hits in a winner-take-all postseason game. Okay, Dodger players with 3 hits in a winner-take-all postseason game. Mm-hmm. 2021, Mookie Betts in the NLDS. He ended up with 4. 2018 in the NLCS, it was Yasiel Puig that had 3 hits or more in a winner-take-all postseason game. 2015 NLDS, Justin Turner did that for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And in 1988 in the NLCS against Ron Darling and the New York Mets, Steve Sachs with 3 hits in a take-all postseason game. Do you remember that?
Not really. I remember that we won that game. I didn't remember I had 3 hits. I don't remember that specifically, but I'm glad you reminded me. I think that's kind of a cool thing.
You guys beat the New York Mets 6-0 Wednesday, October 12th, 1988. You were batting leadoff for the Dodgers. You guys would finish with 10 hits in the game, and Steve Sachs batting leadoff, went 3-for-5 with 2 ribbies in 5 plate appearances that game.
Thanks. That's good. I'm not on social media, so I wouldn't know that. And as far as you know, like in my podcast, my daughter does all of my social media, and she's really, really good at it. So you know, I didn't see that, but you know what? I like it. Then thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. I can't believe you don't remember game 7 of the NLCS.
Oh, no.
3 hits.
Oh, no. I remember the game. I just didn't know. Remember I had 3 hits? Okay. I remember 1 hit I got to center field that drove in, I think, Alfredo Griffin. I think I remember that one. But I didn't remember I had 3 hits, but I'm loving it. So keep it up. Yeah.
Great company right there.
Yeah, love it. Thank you.
Yasiel Puig, Justin Turner, Mookie Betts, and Steve Sachs.
Cool.
All Dodger players with 3 hits and a winner-take-all postseason game. All right, let's go out to the phones, 866-987-2570. A couple minutes, we're going to hear from Dave Roberts in his postgame press conference talking about what the win meant last night for this Dodgers team in a winner-take-all, all-hands-on-deck game, and what they look forward to now in Game 1 tomorrow night. Let's go to – got a lot of people waiting on hold. Abraham and Gardena is next up here on AM 570 LA Sports. Abraham, thanks for being patient. We appreciate it. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Yeah, I think Ron Darling still has nightmares from that 1988 Dodgers team Steve was on.
Probably. Well,
maybe.
Yeah, it's good to hear all that talk from the 1988 playoffs, man. That takes me back a long time ago, especially today on the Kirk Gibson home run day. Mm-hmm. But, I was thinking, you know, it was also the Justin Turner's home run day when he got that one off the Cubs. And I was thinking about his struggles. You think it's possible they might bench him if it continues?
No way. No way.
No, Abraham. Appreciate the phone call, though.
No, Abraham, they're going to live with him or die with him. There's no question. And look, I mean, that thing can turn on a dime. We might be talking in the next week how Justin Turner is going to win the most valuable player in the championship series. That's how fast these things can turn. I'm not worried about Justin Turner. You have to have him on the team. And any downturn that he has in his game, we'll accept it. and we'll move on. And you know what? He'll cover for some other guys at another time. But I am full in with Justin Turner.
How about the other partner in the law office of Turner and Turner, as you have dubbed them, Justin Turner, Trey Turner? Their offices have been shut down because of COVID here this last week. But hopefully they'll reopen in the NLCS, as you were just mentioning with Justin Turner. But Trey Turner, Saxy, last night 0-for-4. He hit 136. He had the double in game four. But outside of that, I mean, I mean, what are you seeing at the plate? He just doesn't he doesn't look like the NL batting champ to me.
No, and I don't think this is a law firm. I think this is an accounting firm because it's about accountability, and it's about counting all the positive things that they're going to put up in this championship series. So I think it's the Turner and Turner accounting firm and not the law firm. Anyway, what I see with him is that, you know, it's like anything else. When you face good top-line pitching like you had with Logan Webb, you had to face him twice. That some guys aren't a good matchup, you know, for him. He's an east-west type of a pitcher. Trey Turner is a guy that I think really likes the north and south type, where he can hit that heater that's got a little bump in it, the little, you know, little giddy up. That's right up his game. I think he's a dead fastball hitter, and that's not what Logan Webb really brings to the table. So maybe you can get out of sorts a little bit, but that thing can turn around quickly, man. You see what happened with Cody Bellinger. We talked about the year that he had. He's turning out to be a weapon, you know, in this postseason. He was very instrumental in a couple of games now, and it's not just what he's doing with the bat and having some big timely hits. It's what he's doing in the outfield. He's stealing bases as well. He's an important component, and believe me, Trey and Justin, the Turner family, are going to be the same way coming forward.
Manuel Gardena. Manuel, good morning, buddy. Manuel, I know you're working. We kept you on hold for a while. Manuel, go ahead. How you doing?
Yo.
Go ahead, Manuel.
What up? Timmy Cates.
What up, Manuel?
You hear me?
We got you, buddy.
My bad. Yeah, hey. What a night. My goodness, bro. And for all those fans that I swear, did you guys listen to Dodger talk last night?
No,
it almost sounded like we lost. I mean, Dodger fans, would you stop questioning Dave Roberts, the greatest manager in Dodger history, not named Alston or Lasorda? Oh. And also, stop questioning Andrew Friedman. The moves work, okay? They're not conventional moves. I believe Saxy said it earlier. This is Harvard baseball, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not what we grew up on. You're either in on it or you're not, but don't expect. I mean, hell, I was surprised as hell when Chris Taylor went down to do that bump. I was happy about it. It didn't work. The execution wasn't there. But, man, we're not going to see that, man. I mean, it's not small ball days no more. They play a different brand of baseball. But I swear, the way that bullpen came through, the way those guys came through, I'm so happy for Belly. Seager, I mean, is there any way? Boris, man, you better give us a deal with this guy, because we cannot let this guy go. I mean, the Dodgers, I swear, we're on to Atlanta, like I told you guys before. But this is, I think, the greatest postseason I've ever seen, even including 88. I mean, hopefully we get the same result, but I'm just proud of this Dodgers franchise from the top down. You guys, everybody, man, let's do this back to back. Love you guys.
All right, Manuel, appreciate the phone call. That opens the line 866-987-2570. I was reading an article earlier that got published on The Athletic by Andy McCullough, former Dodger beat writer who now writes and covers baseball for The Athletic, and he did a deep dive into why the Dodgers went with the opener last night in Corey Knebel, and kind of behind the scenes glimpse of what it was all about. And Alex Slater, the director of baseball operations, actually suggested it the day before, after the game four win Tuesday night, put the idea out there and say, why don't we try this? And according to the article, which is a great read on The Athletic, they decided to sleep on it till Wednesday. The baseball ops group put together basically like a presentation of the pros of doing this and how they can do it and how they can maneuver through it. They decided on Wednesday afternoon to go with it. And in order to do it, they decided they needed to make sure that they had kind of the blessing of everybody else on the team, some of the leaders on this team. So on the plane ride up and before they went to San Francisco, they went around and asked some of the Dodger leaders of this team, hey, this is what we're planning on doing.
Are you guys okay with it? The coaches went around and checked in with Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler. They met with Blake Treinen and Kenley Jansen. They asked Mookie Betts, Justin Turner, and Corey Seager. And according to this article in The Athletic, there was no dissent. And according to Mark Pryor, here's this quote, "When they were on board, it made sense. Everyone is in it to win it. Let's go," end quote. So this wasn't just management saying, we're going to come up with this idea and the players are going to have to execute it. They actually got the approval of the players, which was kind of cool to see that they made sure it was all right with them to go out and execute it.
I love the fact that they involved everybody. And see, it's all about, you know, each person feeling like they're part of the solution. That's what brings, you know, that's what galvanizes a team, is everybody feels like they're part of it. The kind of the stunning thing to me is they made like a presentation. They're like within the, you know, the higher ups. It's almost like a corporate board meeting, right? This is what we're planning on doing, and you know, you buying in or out, and then they go to the the people that are out there working, and they say, "Hey, would you be on board with us?" I dig that part of it. I think it's good. Look, what the Dodgers are doing right now, Tim, and this is part of the process that you mentioned as they went through this this great idea and presented it to the team, is the Dodgers are stacking bricks. That's what they're doing. They're stacking bricks in a positive way. They did it through the regular season. They stacked a bunch of positive bricks, and they won 106 games. Then they stacked that brick of positivity when they went out and won the wild card game against St. Louis. Then they stacked another big bunch of bricks when they beat the San Francisco Giants. By the way, SF stands for season finished. and they did that, right? Now they're going to go out and they're going to stack another bunch of bricks against the Atlanta Braves. And you know what? When this is all over, guess what? The Dodgers will have built themselves a fortress going into the World Series. That's exactly what they're doing.
I love it. I love it. And the game plan worked yesterday. Mark Pryor quotes from this article in The Athletic, "It's a gamble, but you've got to do some unorthodox things sometimes in the playoffs," unquote. It talked about how they put together a research. Andrew Friedman and the front office group completed the research needed to sell Dave Roberts' staff. The coaches then convinced the principals and rallied the clubhouse around idea. So yeah,
that team right now, that front office and that team feels tighter than two coats of paint. I'm telling you, these guys are tight, man. They are well knit together.
Let's go to Chris in L.A. is next up here on AM570 L.A. Sports. Your home of the Dodgers. Chris, good morning.
Kate, Saxy, I just want to thank you guys for waking up this morning, doing the Lord's work, telling us about our Dodgers.
I hear you.
Couple things. I'm thinking Trey Turner is going to turn it around against Atlanta. I did a quick search on MLB.com. According to his at-bats, he was hitting .303 against Atlanta all season, and he was hitting .225 against San Francisco. So I automatically am seeing that there's a bit of an advantage in playing Atlanta. So I'm really hopeful that his bat turns around. But I just wanted to get your guys' opinion. If you had to rate someone as the NLDS MVP, who from the Dodgers would you guys have picked as the NLDS MVP?
All right, Chris, hang on. I'm going to get you a $50 gift card to the Dodger Clubhouse store located at Universal City Walk. Get your playoff gear, Chris. And you also get Dodger merchandise there. Dodger merchandise merchandise is also available at the Hollywood, Santa Monica, Montebello, and Northridge Dodger Clubhouse stores, which is your official team store of AM570 LA Sports. So, Chris, hang on. We'll get your information. We'll get that answer on the other side of the break on who Saxy believes is the MVP of the NLDS. And Chris brought up a good point. Trey Turner's numbers, really good against the Atlanta Braves. There's a reason why. He faced them a lot. In the NL East, is that an advantage for the Dodgers, having him and Max Scherzer going into this seven-game series? We'll talk about it next. We'll break down this NLCS as the Dodgers are moving on. A happy flight to Atlanta today. Game one is tomorrow, first pitch at 5:07. We, of course, your home of the Dodgers. AM 570 LA Sports, Tim Cates, Steve Sachs, and you in for Dan of the Danettes, who are available on the iHeartRadio app. One more segment to go here on this Friday morning. Thanks for being with us.
This is a postseason edition of World Champion Dodger Talk, brought to you by your SoCal Chevy dealers. Now back to Tim Cates and Dodger legend Steve Sachs.
Dodgers getting ready to head to Atlanta
For the start of the National League Championship Series, Dodgers advancing with a 2-1 win over the Giants last night. Corey Seager, an RBI double in the sixth. Giants tied it at the bottom of the sixth, only to have the Dodgers take the lead at the top of the ninth inning on an RBI single from Cody Bellinger. Dodgers would send out Max Scherzer in the bottom of the ninth inning to close it out. Wilmer Flores called on a check swing. Strike three gets rung up. Dodgers win 2-1. They win it in five, and they're now moving on to the NLCS. Game one is tomorrow. Dodgers on deck will start at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. First pitch from Atlanta is coming up at 5:07. Congratulations to all three of our winners of the $50 gift cards to the Dodgers Clubhouse store. We hope you enjoy your playoff gear and Dodgers merchandise. Thanks to our friends at Southern California Chevy Dealers. Find new roads. Visit SoCalChevy.com for more information. All right, the Dodgers win, Saxy. Now it's on to the NLCS. An Atlanta Braves team that's been battling through injuries this year. Lose a couple of key guys, an arm, a bat, and Acuna Jr. And also a team that the Dodgers are very familiar with, having seen them in a seven-game series in the NLCS a year ago. How similar are these Braves than they were a year ago? How tough of a matchup is this going to be for the boys in blue?
Well, it's going to be a tough matchup, and they always are in postseason. You expect that. But this team can mash the baseball. There's no question about it. There was a concern about what they were going to do at third base, and should they try to get a third baseman in free agency? Should they try to get Chris Bryant in a trade? And then they found out that they had one right there on their team with Austin Riley. He's going to get some consideration for MVP this year. Just a complete player. Both sides of the ball, can hit the ball out of the ballpark and hit for average. He's a dynamite, guy that can really shoot the team forward with driving in runs in the center of that order for Atlanta. And, the pitching's good. They've got three guys at the top of the list that are pretty darn good. When you talk about Max Fried, Ian Anderson, only 23 years old, and, of course, the father of our country, Charlie Morton. I don't know how old he is, but I heard he was a waiter at the Last Supper. So that's kind of old. But, they've got some guys that are very, very good. The bullpen is pretty dynamic when you talk about Tyler Matzek, Luke Jackson, and, of course, Will Smith, their closer, the lefty. They've got a great team, no doubt about it. Don't take these guys easy. I know that Acuna Jr. isn't there. Mike Soroka isn't there. But Ozzie Albies has had a great year. Freddie Freeman is Freddie Freeman. He had a slow start, but he wound up hitting 330 jacks, and he's knocking on the door for 100 RBIs. That's just what he does, okay? So this team is stacked. They're a great team. Don't take these guys lightly because they will beat you. So the Dodgers are going to have their work cut out for them. However, I think the Dodgers have advantage. I once again are going to say the depth factor of what the Dodgers bring, not only on the bench, but in that bullpen. I think that's a separator, one place that you can look on this team as a big difference. Dodgers bullpen, I think, is considerably better than what we see in Atlanta. Not that Atlanta's is bad, but the Dodgers is just considerably better with the depth and velocity that they have in those guys.
And the Braves have a very familiar face in Jock Peterson. Mr. Jocktober, as they is now called him, and all the things he has done for the Dodgers over the year in the month of October, and now he's doing for the Atlanta Braves. Had a big home run in the series against the Milwaukee Brewers to come off the bench and win it for them. He's been big for them. In addition, they lose Acuna Jr., but they go out and make two or three moves at the deadline that were kind of all right moves. They weren't major shakeup moves like Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. The Dodgers go out and get those guys, and now facing an NL East team in the Atlanta Braves, the Dodgers, you would think, would Trey Turner in the lineup and having success against him for six-plus seasons, would have an advantage with Trey Turner being able to help kind of game plan and maybe share some secrets of the Atlanta Braves pitchers.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. And remember, one of the guys that they went out and acquired, the Atlanta Braves, was Jorge Soler. He's going to be unavailable for the reasons of COVID, so he's not going to be there. Eddie Rosario was a guy that they acquired. I like Eddie Rosario. He's a good hitter. The ball really jumps off his bat. He's a threat in the middle of the order, hitting from the left side as well. But I think overall, the Dodgers, if they just do their thing, that they can beat this. I'll tell you now, I'm picking the Dodgers to win this in six.
In six?
Mm-hmm.
So that means they'd win it back in Atlanta because the Braves have home field advantage. And that's another thing, is the fact that the Braves won their division. They had 88 wins. The Dodgers had 106 wins. But as the wild card, cannot host this NLCS. This is
This is just something else baseball has to adjust. I mean, the team who wins 106 games, I don't care if they're the wild card or the division winner. It should be how many wins you had in the regular season. You deserve it in postseason.
Yeah, it seems to that's a reasonable thing to do. However, you know, they won the division, so they're going to get that advantage. However, when you look at this, the Braves don't have to win at Dodger Stadium. Theoretically, they can win all their four games and move on to the next step by winning at their own park. Mm-hmm. Dodgers, on the other hand, have to win at least one game at Truist Park back in Atlanta. And you know what? They've done it many times before in the other ballpark. We saw what they did last night. So this is not going to be some strange thing for the Dodgers to go out there and dominate in the other park. They've done it many times before.
And hearing our Dodger fans this morning and based on reaction last night on social media, this was a big exhale. And even the Dodger players, the celebration they had, and rightfully so, they earned it. That's a big win against the Giants.
Must celebrate. Must celebrate.
Absolutely.
Right. Sure.
Now today is a new day, and they got to get a cross-country flight and get ready now for the Atlanta Braves. Any concern, at least from the outside looking in, about this Dodgers team coming out flat after such an emotional five-game series against the Giants, now looking at the Braves, and at least in a fan's perspective, hey, we should walk past these guys. We just knocked off the Giants. Who are the Braves?
Okay, first of all, that's not going to happen because there's too many smart people in this organization. Number one, the manager's not going to let this happen. There's going to be a lot of individual conversations at lockers. Bank on it. You know, today when they get there for the workout, the last thing that you want is to go there and have a letdown. We know it's happened before with other teams. It's not going to happen with the Dodgers. I don't even think that's a possibility. There's too many guys on this team that kind of shepherd one another. When you talk about guys like Max Scherzer, he's not going to let that happen with that pitching staff. He's going to have a couple of talks with these guys. Of course, Justin Turner with the regular players spread throughout this team, this organization. There's guys that are kind of like the right arm of the manager, if you will, that go out and they'll talk to one another. They're not going to let this thing happen. As a matter of fact, they might have to throttle it back a little bit because they're going to want to get after this thing. And in a seven-game series where the Dodgers have a chance to kind of drag these guys out in the deep water and drown them, this really does favor the Dodgers in the seven-game series.
We won't speak again until Monday morning at 6 a.m. We'll be able to recap games 1 and 2, which are Saturday, Sunday in Atlanta. Monday will be an off day as the teams travel back and get ready for game 3 on Tuesday night. How do you project games 1 and 2 to go in this series? When we talk again on Monday morning, what are we looking at?
Well, I think against Max Fried, they're going to have their hands full. This guy's got a lot of momentum going after the All-Star game. Features everything that Ron Darling had talked about. But listen, the Dodgers are going to be able to feature all those tough right-handed hitters to come out of these slumps and take advantage of that matchup. I think they're going to do the same thing in game 2.
If it's feast and famine every other game for the Dodgers, you can make a case that it was famine last night. Just 2 runs.
And they still won.
2-1 game, and they absolutely won the game. This could be a feast in game 1 of the NLCS if the trend continues. Saxy, a lot of fun this morning. I am so fired up that we are going to keep going here through the championship series.
See you Monday, Tim.
All right. Talk to you on Monday, Saxy. Thanks to Michelle. Thanks to all you Dodger fans for being a part of the show. Coming up next, it's The Herd with Colin Cowherd. At noon, it's Rogan and Rodney. At 3 o'clock, Petro some money for a full 4-hour show. Thanks for being a part of the show. We'll be back on Monday. The Dodgers are headed to Atlanta. They knock off the Giants in 5. Now it's off to Atlanta to beat the Braves. Have a great rest of your day. Colin Cowherd's next.